husband now for 45 years. 45 years ago, I said I do. She said, you better. That's how, pretty much how it's been. Four children and seven grandchildren, all right? And God has been good to us, right? I sometimes Shirley and I, when we're talking, we're just enjoying one another at this stage in life. You know, the children are grown and gone, and we're enjoying our grandchildren. Isn't God good to give you grandchildren? Oh, grandchildren, all right? But I joke with Shirley, I said, you know, 45 years ago, we started with nothing. And we still got most of it. But I'm going to tell you, he has blessed us greatly. And he's allowed me to go around different places and preach in different venues and just to see the family of God. And I am blessed because I am able to go in different places, you know. Sometimes if you stay put as you ought in a local church, you know, you don't know what's going on in the Big C church. And I'm excited. I'm glad to be a part of a local church, and I'm glad to be a part of what God is doing in the world, and that is the church. And so thank God for your being here. I trust that this will be a great time, all right? So take your Bibles and be finding Matthew chapter number 25 as we sort of peruse through the parables over these next couple of days. Thank you, Pastor Brother Jeffrey, and for the praise team who led us so far. I want you to look down at verse number 14. We're going to begin at verse number 14 and maybe read down to verse number 27. And we're going to talk out of this parable. Now, this is one of the end time parables, doing Jesus in this Olivet Discourse. Peter, James, and John, and Andrew came to Jesus and wanted to know what was going to happen at the end of the age. And Jesus unfolds the plan for the end of the age. And this portion that we're in now is all about him coming again. He said in chapter number 24, beginning at verse number 36, it's all about how the Son of Man is coming again. He's going to be coming again. And of course, we don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but it's up to us to be faithful and ready for him to come. He's given a parable already in chapter number 25. It's the parable of the 10 virgins. You might remember that parable. And now in verse number 14, he starts off in the parable of the talents. Let's read together. Now I'm reading from the ESV. It says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said unto him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful. Over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had received 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered unto me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said unto him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'But master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received my what was my own with interest." Let's just stop there, all right? Now, we are in this parable looking at the talents that were given to these servants. Now, the first parable in chapter number 25 is a parable. Now, again, remember the backdrop is that Jesus is coming again. And so Jesus tells this parable, and in every one of them, there is this waiting element. In the parables of the virgins, they were waiting. They were waiting for the groom to come. They were waiting. And in the parable of the talents, there was the element of waiting. Now watch, in the first parable here in chapter number 25, the whole idea is about preparation. The five virgins that were wise because they were what? Prepared. The virgins that were foolish because they were unprepared. It is a parable about preparation, all right? It's about waiting and watching and being prepared, waiting and watching. Now, while that parable is about preparation, this parable is about occupation. Not waiting and watching, but waiting and working. And we as believers, we are people in waiting. Paul said about the believers in Thessalonica, the Thessalonians, he said how they turn to God from idols to serve the true and the living God and to wait for a son from heaven. We are waiting right now. We are people who are waiting. But now watch, the preparation part is so important, and we are to be waiting and we are to be watching, waiting and expecting that the Lord will come. We don't know exactly when that is, but we know that his return is nearer than it's ever been before. So now we are waiting and we are watching. But now, in this parable that I've read in your hearing, it's about waiting and working. It's about putting to use what has been given to us in the lives that we have now. So we are talking about these servants with the talents. Now, have you noticed here in this parable that the whole issue is about stewardship? Stewardship. Now, most of the time when I go to churches and we talk about stewardship, people think you're talking about money. Right? Somebody says, hold on to your wallet, Bernice. He's talking about money. No. Now watch. Stewardship is about money. But it's not just about money. Stewardship is about everything. Everything is about stewardship. Listen, we are owners of nothing. You know that. I have to say that. We have to be reminded that we own nothing. We are simply managers. A steward is a manager of someone else's resources. So we own nothing, but we are to manage what belongs to him. He has given to our hands what he has given to our hands. He's given to our lives what he's given to our lives, not to own, simply to possess and to manage and to steward for his glory. A good old amen goes right in there. It's all for his glory, and we simply manage what is ours, not as owners, but as what? Stewards. And now, what's a steward? A manager of another person's resources. I have nothing. I talked about the children that I have. They're not mine. They're his. I'm a steward. I'm a steward of my marriage. I'm a steward of my friendship. I'm a steward of every single thing that I have. I'm a steward, right? The breath you just drew is not yours. It was his. Amen? Everything. So now listen, it's good for us to remember that. Now watch this. In this parable, I want to lay four words on your heart, all right? Four things that I think that we can just sort of talk about tonight as we talk about stewardship. I want you to notice in this parable that Jesus told that everything in the story belonged to the master. The servants belong to the master, and the money belonged to the master. So the master was the sovereign in this story. Everything was his. And so he calls his servants, and he divides unto his servants his resources. And I want you to notice this now, because this is a vital part of the story. He calls three servants, and he's got 8 talents. Now, if you and I would have been doing this, we would have said, okay, now, 2.666 for you, 2.666 for you, 2. But that's not the way life is. Amen. You know that, right? So he calls three servants. He has 8 talents, and he calls one guy and gives him 5. He calls another guy, gives him 2, and he calls one guy and gives him 1. And right there, as Americans, that don't feel right. That's like walking in a shoe that's a half size too small. Right? It's manageable, but it hurts. But listen, that's the way it is. And at some point, you know, you've got to just make peace with this. You got to make peace with this. The master has given to one person 5, another guy 2, and another guy 1. Sit in that. Deal with it. I said, deal with it. Because that's the way it is. Now, here's four words that I think that'll help us. The first word, as we think about this parable, is the word ability. He divides unto them according to their ability. Now, I've already told you that life is about stewardship. You don't own anything. You simply possess, and you possess it to manage for his glory. And what you have, you've been given to by the grace of God, nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. It's all by grace. God has deposited into you. God has invested into me. By his wonderful grace. And as in the story, it's according to his several ability, according to their ability. So now, it was him and his divine prerogative to say, you have 5, you have 2, and you have 1. You have 5, you have 2, and you have 1. Now let's go on and face it. There are all several kinds of abilities in this place tonight. Let's think about all the different abilities. Well, we can't think about all of them, but some of them. Let's think. There are people who have great physical abilities in this place. You have been blessed with great, I don't care whether that's strength or athleticism or whether that's stature. But now you gotta know we ain't all equal in this. Right? Michael Jordan is 6'6". I'm 5'6". Ain't no sense in me talking about I'm equal to Michael Jordan. You know, I missed it by that much. I got the haircut, but that's it. My point is this. Who made him 6'6"? Who made me 5'6"? Who made you who you are? Hey, there are some of us who've never been, maybe there's somebody in this place, I'm sure of it, who've never been sick a day in your life. And then there's somebody else in here who's never really been well a day in your life. Where does all that rest? Where did all that come from? Their physical abilities, there are great mental abilities. There are people in here, you can pass by a book and learn what's in it. Others of us put it under the pillow, pray. And still can't get it. You know what I'm talking about. There are people who don't have to study as hard as other people. They have the ability to pick up things quickly, understand concepts. It's amazing. I mean, you just watch your kids. Some struggle with math and things like that. Others pick it up just like that. Where did that come from? Ever thought about where's all this come from? Physical differences and mental differences. And hey, let's face it, psycho-emotional, social differences. There are people who can come through the back door of a place like this and just cut through this place like a hot knife through butter, shaking hands and talking. And man, you say, look at that guy there. Look at that girl. She's just, boy, just so social. Others of us will come in here and get behind that flag and stay there all night if we had to. Be just fine with us. You know what I'm talking about? You just got these, you don't warm up to people like others. And you see people like that, and you look at that, you say, why? And let's face it, financial abilities and the ability to make money. I just know people who know how to make it. They know how to make money. Now, I can spend it like I'm drunk, but I don't know how to make it. They're just people. Hey, I mean, when you just back off of it and just look at life and look at the differences, you just have to say, you know, God did this. I know what we mean when we say we're created equal. We're loved equally. We're not created equal. We're just not. We're created differently, and there are different abilities, and God has issued them out according to his own divine prerogatives. You had nothing to do with being born in the family you were born in, with the opportunity. Have you ever thought of opportunity as a stewardship? Have you ever thought about opportunity as a stewardship? Do you know everybody doesn't have the opportunities that you've had in life? Everybody doesn't have this. Everybody doesn't enjoy what you enjoy as free people in America, religious freedom and all the opportunities for school. We're not far from some medical facility. They've got clean running water and clean sterilized tools, and they can handle any medical emergency. Do you know that's a great privilege? Do you know that's everybody don't have that. Opportunity is a tremendous stewardship. And God in heaven has sorted it out. And God in heaven has handed it out according as it has pleased him. And what we enjoy in ability comes from the hand of a gracious God. And so, it's about this time in a message like this that people are sitting there saying, that's good. And then this question comes up. Well, what am I? Am I a five? Am I a two? Or am I a one? And here's the answer to that. The answer is yes. It's just true. The answer is yes. Because everybody in this place is a five, that somebody else is a two or one in. Yeah. Everybody is a five in something. Other people, you are way out in front of other people in something. I guarantee you. I'm 64. I've been around a little while, and I've seen and I know that people who you would think have nothing or very little to contribute are actually fives And some things other people are only twos and ones in. And everybody in this place is a two in something other people are fives and ones in. Just flat average. I know what I'm talking about. I heard some of y'all saying already. And you're average. I've heard better and I've heard worse. It's true. And some of us are ones in something other people are twos and fives in. When you think about stewardship, the stewardship of time and opportunity, physical differences, mental, we're fives, we're twos, and we're ones. And God has done it. So let me just give you three things under that one point. Number one, no complaining. Don't spend your life complaining that you're not what somebody else is. God has done it. God has done it. It does me no good to complain that I'm 5'6", that I'm the fifth child of six in a family born in Southeast Georgia. That's what it is. No complaining. Then I'm black and you're white. No complaining. You got this and I didn't have that. No complaining. Number two, no comparing. That's a dog's life. I said, that's a dog's life. I know people who are physically sick because they spend their lives measuring and trying to measure up with what other people have and are. And it's a dog's life. No complaining. No comparing. And no competing. It's a happy day in my life. And I learned it somewhere. It's a happy day in my life when I learned God's not trying to make me better than you. And he's not trying to make you better than me. He wants me to be better than me. And he wants you to be better than you. You're not the measure of me, and I'm not the measure of you. He's given me what he's given me. He's given you what he's given you. And it's a matter of sovereign prerogative. And we gotta sit in that. We gotta deal with that. Hey, what's our first word? The first word is ability. Let me give you our second word. Our second word is possibility. You won't find it in the text, but it's implicit. He gives five, he gives two, he gives one, and he simply says, you go with your five, you go with your two, and you go with your one. He knows what he has issued. You go with your five, you go with your two, and you go with your one. And he says, you go with what I have given you. I have invested in you as a child of God. You go with what I have given you. And I'm just telling you, I have seen it in my life. The possibilities lie in the hand of God in heaven. I don't know what God might do. Nobody knows what God might do with anybody. With anybody. I can say that without any fear of peradventure. There is no telling by any of us what God might be able to do with anybody who is surrendered to Him and who is living for His honor and for His glory. If God could take a D.L. Moody, y'all know that name? If God can take a D.L. Moody, he was not educated, he was not eloquent, he butchered the language much like yours truly. They said D.L. Moody was so bad in English, he could take a word like Mesopotamia and turn it into one syllable. I don't know how you do that, but but nobody who knows that name would doubt that God used a D.L. Moody. You know why? Because the possibilities lie with God. Little as much when God is in it. It's a song we used to sing. Let me ask you something. What do these songs have in common? Some of y'all old enough to know these. Blessed Assurance, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, Jesus is Tenderly Calling, praise Him, Rescue the Perishing, To God Be the Glory, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, Jesus is Passing This Way, He Hideth My Soul, Redeemed How I Love to Proclaim It, Showers of Blessing, Blessed Redeemer, Will Jesus Find Us Waiting, I Am Thine, O Lord, Near the Cross, Safe in the Arms of Jesus, and I could go on and on and on and on, but let me ask you, do y'all know what these songs have in common? Yeah, they're about Jesus, but that's a good vacation Bible school answer. Jesus! No, they were all written by Fanny Crosby. Y'all know the story of little Fanny Crosby. Some of y'all are too young to appreciate this, but little Fanny Crosby, 4'11", was blinded at maybe 3 months old by a careless doctor. And she didn't know what a mother looked like, a father looked like, grew up like that, not rich in a time when, I mean, just a bad situation. She had heartache in her life. And my point is this, nobody could have imagined that God would use a person like Fanny Crosby to so bless the church of God like she has. You know, there's not a second of the day that goes by that somebody, somewhere, some congregation, somewhere is not singing a song by Fanny Crosby. What a blessing she has been to the people of God. What a mighty weapon in the hand of God that little Fanny Crosby, and nobody would have ever imagined it. But I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, and I believe it, there is no telling what God will do in the life of anybody. There is nobody too small for God to use. There are a lot of people too big for Him to use, but nobody too small for God to use. If we are faithful, if we are faithful to take what He has invested into our lives and leverage all of that by the power of the Holy Spirit for His honor and for His glory, there's no telling. Only God in heaven knows what the possibilities are. If we would invest ourselves and steward our gifts for His honor and for His glory. I'm amazed. I see it all the time in the lives of people that are in the church, people I know, and how God take even the thing that seemed to be ugly, and the thing that that person would be ashamed of, and how God in his own way takes that thing and makes it beautiful, and he redeems it, and that story becomes a glory story. I was telling the pastors today that at 17 years of age, I went into the military, to the Marine Corps, and while I was in the Marine Corps, there, as soon as I got in, came back from Paris Island, the University of Paris Island, and I came home. I got a 15-year-old girl pregnant with my baby. You couldn't imagine that for your 15-year-old. You can imagine that. I couldn't for mine. I mean, if I look back. But I'm just telling you today that is the wife I've been married to for 45 years. And God has given us what he has given us. And God has. And listen, that's not for my glory. But I'm just showing you how God can take something that the devil meant for evil, that the devil would have destroyed us by. And God, by his own grace, he redeemed it. And God can do that and will do that and has done that and is doing that in the lives of so many people today who are surrendered to his will and just say, God, I want you to have your way in my life, and I want to have my life invested in your work, and I divest myself of any right I have of myself. You'll see God do it in your life if you'll be surrendered to him now. It's a glory story, and he gets the glory. Our first word is what? What's our second word? All right, talk back to me. Our first word is what? Our second word is what? Here's the third word in this story. Responsibility. What's the third word? So let's keep it straight. The first word is what? The second word is what? The third word is what? Whatever we have been given by God, just like these stewards in the story, we are absolutely responsible for. I always say this, and it's true. Privilege and responsibility are Siamese twins. They travel together. They always do. Whatever your privileges are in life, commensurate to that privilege is responsibility. Absolutely. If I'm privileged to be a husband, I have the responsibility of being a husband. Privileged to be a dad, I have the responsibility of being a dad. Privileged to be an American citizen, I have the responsibility. Privileged to have freedom, responsibility. Whatever the privileges are in life, so go the responsibilities. So here now, they have been privileged, one with five, one with two, one with one. They have been privileged to have been invested in by God, and all of us have been, all of us are, and we all are responsible. Yeah. So Mr. Five goes out and he takes these fives that he has and he works with these fives. God holds him responsible. And by the way, have you noticed in the story that we don't know whether Mr. Two knew that there was a Mr. Five or Mr. One? What does Mr. Two know? Mr. Two knows that he has two. Mr. Five knows that he has five. Now, he may have known there was a Mr. Two and a Mr. One. Mr. One may have known there was a Mr. Two and a Mr. Five. But watch this now. Listen. No comparing, no competing, no complaining. Hey, if Mr. Five takes what he has been given and uses it, he has been blessed with five, he has a responsibility for five, not two, five. Mr. Two has been given two. He doesn't have the responsibility that Mr. Five has for five or Mr. One has for one. He has two. You have two. What have you been given? What has God blessed you with? How have you been invested in? Hey, you're not responsible for anybody else. You're responsible for what God has given you to do the best you can with what you have, where you are, with the right motive and the right attitude. I have the responsibility to do the best I can with what God has given me, where I am, right here, right now, with the right motives, his glory, and the right attitude. And I'm going to tell you, the great tragedy in life is not that you got one and somebody else got five. Don't let the devil trick you. The great tragedy in life is not that you got one and somebody else got more. The great tragedy in life is when you don't use the one you have. The great tragedy in life when you don't leverage the life that God has given you. That's where the tragedy is. So yes, there was five. And he's responsible for that. And you're responsible for what God has blessed you with. And that you are to steward. And I'm responsible. Here's the fourth word. Here's the fourth word. And you find it. I'm going to read it. Here's the fourth word. If the first word is ability, the second word is what? The third word is what? Quickly now. The fourth word is this. Accountability. The day came when the master came back. Right? Yeah. He came. And notice, in every instance, the Bible says that he that received the five talents came forward. He that received the two came forward. He that received the one came forward. And every man had to give an account of himself to God. Yeah. There is an accounting that's going to come. And I will be brought into account, not for what I didn't have, not for opportunities I didn't have, not for physical skills I didn't have, not for mental abilities that I didn't have. I'm going to give an account of all the privileges God has given to me. I'm going to give an account for my marriage and for my children and for my place in ministry. But we shall all give an account of ourselves to God. There's a coming forward day, and there's a reckoning day where there is an account settling. And thank God that heaven and hell is not dependent upon what I've done. Thank God we've been singing about the death, burial, and resurrection tonight. Amen. Thank God for the victory that's won in Jesus. And as children of God, our sins are gone. But we will give an account for stewardship. And we will be rewarded, or we won't be rewarded, based on what we've done with what he's given to us. And you know, even our rewards are for us to lavish upon Jesus, because by his grace he saves us, but by his grace we serve him. It's all by grace. He's the one who gave us the talents. He's the one who gives us the privilege. He's the one who gives us the opportunities. So it's all for his honor and for his glory. And you're going to give an account. And I'm going to give an account. And so Mr. Five came forward and said, you gave me five, here's five more. Listen to what the Lord says. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. Come in and enjoy the joy of your master. Come on in and enjoy this. Now watch. Mr. Two comes in. He says the exact same thing. You gave me five, two, and here's two. And the master then said, well, that's pretty good, but here's a guy over here who had five. No, no, no. He says, well done, Mr. Two. You have been faithful with your two. Come in. Enjoy the joy of your Lord. You, well done, good and faithful servant. How many of you know the Lord's not going to say well done if you hadn't done well? He's not going to say good if you hadn't been good. And he's not going to call you faithful if you hadn't been faithful. Well done, good and faithful servant. And enter the joy of your, here's Mr. One. Well, I ain't have but one. And see, here's the thing, Mr. One, you check him out. He didn't know the master. Mr. Five knew the master. Mr. Two knew the master. Mr. Five and Mr. Two went out knowing that the master is going to, yes, hold him responsible for the five he had and the two he had. Mr. One didn't know him at all. Oh, you're a hard man. You sow where you don't. You reap where you don't sow. All that. He didn't know him. Mr. Master, the master says, okay, you don't know me. I'm going to hold you accountable for your words. The truth of the matter is, he called him a wicked and slothful servant. Have you ever looked at being lazy as being wicked in the Lord's sight? Just not leveraging what he has given to us. Just not doing the best you can with what you have, where you are right now in this space, with the right motive and the right attitude. The Lord held him in account. Let me close with this. You remember over in Matthew chapter number 11, where Jesus began to scold a couple of cities. He says, woe unto you, Chorazin and Bethsaida. Woe. Woe unto you. Not blessed. Woe unto you. He said, if the men of Tyre and Sidon, in the mind of the people in Bethsaida and Chorazin, these were wicked people. Jesus says, listen, if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in them, they would have repented a long time ago. Woe unto you. It's going to be more tolerable. I don't pretend to know what all of this means, but it means something. It will be more tolerable for them in the day of judgment than for you. He goes on to say, Capernaum. You know, Capernaum was Jesus' headquarters. That's where most of his miracles were done, in Capernaum. Jesus says, warn you, Capernaum. Will you be exalted to heaven? That's what they thought. He says, nope, you'll be brought down to hell. Listen to what he said. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, they would remain until this day. That's sobering, ladies and gentlemen. It will be more tolerable for the men of Sodom than it is for you, Capernaum. What is he saying? I'm just talking about judgment. What is he saying? He is saying, they would have done more with their opportunities than you've done with yours. It'd be like Jesus saying, woe unto you, America. If the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Iraq, If the mighty works which have been done in you had been done in any other one of these Muslim countries or in atheistic Russia, if the mighty works which you have seen, if the blessings that you have enjoyed, if the people of Russia had been blessed like you have been blessed, they would have done more with their opportunities than you are doing with yours. That's sobering. I do know this, the Lord is a righteous judge. And so I don't want to spend my time judging what I think you might be doing or not doing in your life. Because the truth of the matter is, I don't know where you've come from. I don't know what your opportunities are and what your opportunities were. Because the Lord might say to me, why do you look down your nose at that person? If that person had been blessed like you have been blessed, that person would be further along in their walk with Jesus than you are. So I'm saying to us, let's don't walk around now judging other people. Let's leave the judgment to the Lord. But know, we all will stand in his presence. We all will. And we all will give an account for what he's given to us to possess and to manage for his glory. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we're thankful for the victory won at Calvary. Thankful for the empty tomb. Thankful for the truth of the gospel. Thankful that there is therefore now no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ, who walk according to the Spirit and not after the flesh. Thankful for the great privilege of stewardship that you have invested into our lives. And that we are to recognize and to utilize and to maximize what you've blessed us to steward. So God, help us to think about that. As husbands and wives, as moms and dads, as grandparents, as citizens, as neighbors, as business owners, as managers, as co-workers, as church members, all the privileges you've blessed us with, this help us to hold these things, dear God, not as owners, but as stewards. Lord, even today, as we come to the close of this service, there may be someone here who needs to see this very moment as an opportunity to do what is right before you, to steward this moment properly. You've given them this moment. You've given them this opportunity to do what is right. So I pray for that man or that woman, for that young person, maybe who has never come to Christ in faith, but who needs to be saved today. I pray, Father, you would impress upon them that before they leave this place today, they would run to Christ and be saved at once. And Lord, for every man and woman in this place who is a child of God, each one of us would see ourselves as stewards. God, we would leave this place with a greater determination and a greater desire to serve you, to be faithful, to leverage our gifts and abilities for your honor and glory. God, that it might be so.